The conversation of your life. Local, relevant, digital, and always on.
America will hear my two cents.
Elected to serve iHub radio listeners across the desert cities. He calls it as he sees it.
Quick question.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
Someone answer him now!
All right, microphone on. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Russ Betts Show here in beautiful downtown Palm Springs. Stay at home, Palm Springs, and wear a mask, Palm Springs. If you haven't heard, it's time for you to start wearing a mask in public. That's the order out of the Riverside County Health Department, and it starts now. I've been watching way too many people just taking this as if there's nothing happening. We are in the middle of a significant world pandemic that's taking lives, and you can catch this thing so easy. And it is so nice to see that the Riverside County has taken the step following Laredo, Texas, who did it on April 1st, put into effect that it is mandatory that you wear a mask when you go out in public. Now, they've been saying they've been having trouble getting people to stay at home, and maybe this will do the trick. Maybe Americans are so shy about wearing a mask out in public that, they'll just, rather than do that, they'll say, I'm not going to wear this silly thing out there. I'm just going to stay home. But I'm encouraged. I see a lot more people wearing them. I was in the market, a couple weeks ago, and I saw maybe 10% of the people wearing masks and giving each other a thumbs up. Hey, we got it. We got it right. And we've been wearing a mask for 6 weeks. I've been on this rant to wear a mask for, that long, I think. Of course, I've got some Asian influence in my family, so, I'm used to seeing masks all over all the time. And it's just a regular part of apparel in our house during certain activities. Well, now it's a regular part of our apparel, or has been for the last 6 weeks, everywhere we go, every time we go out. Well, I took a drive around, as I usually do every day, and I'm looking at the market, and I pull up in front of a grocery store, and I see people just going in and out, no mask, no coverage, as if, it's almost a surreal environment, as if, there's nothing going on. So anyhow, let me give you this details on this order that came out. It's 8 pages, a very technical sounding order, but was happily reduced to something we can all understand by Lake Elsinore Mayor Steve Manos, who put out a social media post that summed it up. And he said, earlier today, the county of Riverside strengthened severe coronavirus orders, several coronavirus orders, making them enforceable by law. Anyone found in violation can be fined up to $1,000 per day or be arrested. Now, I don't think the arrested part's going to work, but for sure you could be facing a $1,000 fine. And I saw some guy post, what are they going to do? I mean, how are they going to enforce this one? And he says, and how's a $1,000 fine order going to hold up in court? Well, put on a mask or go through all the hassle of telling the government that it's not going to collect a $1,000 fine from you. Do you know how much trouble that is? For those of you just tuning in, my day job is as a city council member in the city of Desert Hot Springs. And while I view my job as a liaison between the public and City Hall, I've gotten pretty familiar with the way City Hall works over the last, 10 years. And, it's not easy. They got a lot of resources, and you'll show up in court, so just think about that one. Because you don't want to wear a mask, you're going to challenge this order, and you're going to go down in court, prepare for that. You're not going to, it's just way easier just to go to get along. Or, hey, if you don't want to wear a mask, stay home. That's what you're supposed to be doing anyhow. Anyhow, I'm in front of a 7-Eleven, Circle K, and you just see everybody going in and out. So let's get this. Let's just get this order that came out, and it's effective now. All social gatherings of any size are prohibited. Of course, the exceptions are essential businesses, mostly medical, food places, gas stations, the normal list of essential businesses. But everything is closed. The bars, the gyms, the swap meets, all the things that were closed before remain closed. I don't know if this is extending that order, but nothing's changed. All that's the same. And then all persons going into public for any of these essential services are required to have face covering. And this includes essential workers. Anybody, everybody must be wearing a mask. The clerk at the checkout counter must be wearing a mask. And now, if you happen to be at one of these employers that tell you, sorry, you can't be wearing a mask while you're working, well, now it's illegal not to wear a mask. Your employer can't tell you that. So wear a mask. Oh, what else we got here? All persons going to covered that. So it's anyhow, it's a violation of the law and it's a $1,000 fine. So you look around, you see anybody without a mask. Now, I was looking at this one. I felt so strongly about it. I've been waiting for this to come along. And my wife's been haranguing me, do something, do something. Why isn't everybody wearing a mask? I mean, if you take a look at Japan and South Korea, where the curve, you know, they talk about this curve and trying to keep the curve flat. They've kept it flat. And I guess it's just because, well, maybe they all wear a mask. Now, you know, the other thing that people, there's has bothered me through all this, is let's deal with this mask, is first off, the media reported, well, no, it doesn't work. They don't help. Don't wear them. Don't help. And I'm going, what are you talking about? Why not wear them? You go into an emergency room or a doctor's office and they say, hey, cover your mouth. If you've got any type of cold, wear a mask. And people, and then the media comes out and says, well, the mask really doesn't protect you from getting a cold. Well, now they've finally got that one right and said, well, what this is supposed to stop all these little water droplets that come out of your mouth as you're talking. And if you haven't seen that, go on to a YouTube and pick up one of those slow motion videos and watch the classic one is a sneeze and how far that goes. But just go look when you're talking. As I'm talking now, there's water droplets coming out. I mean, I don't want to be too graphic about this, but, you know, this is what happens. So you put on a mask. If everybody's wearing a mask, we're not exchanging what's coming out of your mouth. And I think that's what the six-foot distancing was stay 6 feet away. But if you go look at the pictures in Asia, Japan and Korea, South Korea, where they've kept the numbers down, they're not practicing six-foot distancing. They're all wearing a mask. That's the barrier between you and them. Anyhow, they're all encouraging you to wear a mask and maintain the six-foot distancing. But the mask is for you to be a good neighbor and not pass around your little water droplets all over everybody else. And go ahead, maintain the six-foot distancing because you're supposed to do that too. And as of last night, do not go out without a mask. Now, my wife had another public... Oh, yeah, I did. I mentioned that's a $1,000 fine. All right, now, my wife had a public service announcement for us. I'm trying to find it here. Oh, yeah. You know, if you're stuck at home, here's a public service announcement. Don't waste time. This is a great time to get all those little chores done around the house. I'll tell you what, I would much rather wear a mask and go out in public than stay at home right now. There's getting a long list of these chores to do. Are you getting stuff done? Anyhow, all right. You know, last week during the show, we had Joe McKee with us. Joe's taking the week off here, but I just put out a quick note that said, hey, if anybody feels like calling in and asking some questions, the phone lines are open. I put the phone number out there, and maybe it wasn't a few minutes later, the phone started ringing, and I've got 5 calls. I couldn't get to all of them. I was surprised. So I'll extend the invitation again. We're here. We're live. And it's if you want to give a call, we're happy to take it. It's 760-544-8255. You'll call in. You'll be on the air. Just let it ring. I'm not great at getting these calls, but you just let it ring. I guarantee I'll answer. And most likely, as soon as I pick up, you're going to be on the air. So be ready with whatever question you got or whatever you want to say. Hey, where else can you, you sit at home? Maybe you're just waking up. You know, go ahead, get yourself a cup of coffee, get woke up. We're here from, 8 a.m. Wow, it's early. I'm not a morning person. We're here from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. Every Sunday morning here at iHub Radio. Glad to have you with us. All right. These are obviously some very serious times we're living in, and it's putting a lot of strain on a lot of people. And, you know, if you're a renter and you're out of work and you're wondering, you know, how the heck am I going to get by? You've heard about the eviction moratorium, but what happens when that runs out and the rent is due? And if you're a landlord, you're wondering how the heck you're going to make your mortgage with no rent coming in. Just by way of a programming note, at the top of the hour, that's 9 a.m., we have an expert coming in who's going to tell us about all the help that's coming in for small shop owners, small business owners, renters, landlords, everybody. There's a lot of help out there. They're just pumping out money. They're pumping out programs. And some of it, you know, you're thinking, wow, is this the government? Is it really going to be effective? What are these programs? What hoops do I have to go through? Well, some of it is surprisingly easy. The Small Business Administration has a website that allows business owners to go in and apply. And wow, did that go quickly and easily. So anyhow, we'll cover all that at 9 o'clock. But for now, we're going to get on to a few other details. Let's see. You know, I'm watching this stuff about China. And yeah, you know, I probably, you know, everybody's criticism of them and more is correct and proper. But it's a matter of timing, I think. And I think right now the timing is they've got some masks, they've got some ventilators, they're sending them in, they've got some stuff we need, and they got experience dealing with this crisis because they've already been through it. And, you know, yeah, we want to call them liars and we want to, you know, accuse them of raiding our masks and taking ours when they needed them or whatever you want to call. But, you know, is this the right time for that? Maybe later is the time for that fight. Right now, let's get what we need. Let's be polite about it. And then afterwards, let's take them to task. You know, what's it called? Pick your fights and pick the time. And I understand for political reasons, politicians want to get out there and say, you know what, I'm taking a tough stance here. Darn it, I want to get them. Well, just put that in your pocket. Hold on to it for right now and say, you know, right now, let's get as much help as we can because we got a very critical 2 weeks coming up. And anyhow, now, New York, did you see the hospital ship coming into the harbor? You know, it's a big, huge white ship with the big red crosses on it. I mean, how can you miss it? It's quite the sight to see. Well, apparently New Yorkers, which is the Wuhan of the United States as far as this thing goes, with by far the most numbers, almost half of the numbers in the United States are right there in New York City. So they have this medical ship coming into harbor. And you can watch the video of it. I watched it. I thought it was interesting. But you're in New York with a video, with a medical ship coming in to save your city because you've all been in too close a quarters, and what do? You go down to the harbor, you go down to the docks next to each other, shoulder to shoulder, you know, peering over each other's heads, around each other, with no mask on, gathering. You know, no wonder New York is in so much trouble. There's other reasons New York's in trouble. I'm going to get into that when we get back here. Some of the early pronouncements out of government leaders in New York. That's back in February. You know, maybe it's not fair to take him to task, but, you know, I'm going to cover that with you here coming up. Listening to the Russ Bett Show here on iHub Radio. Good to have you with us. We're here live from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., and certainly welcome to call in. And I don't see the line ringing yet, but we'll keep an eye on that one. All right, we're back with more. This is Russ Betts on iHub Radio, and good to have you with us.
The conversation of your life. Local, relevant, digital, and always on.
America will hear my two cents.
Elected to serve iHub Radio listeners across the desert cities. He calls it as he sees it.
Quick question.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
Someone answer him now!
All right, did you see the hospital ship coming into the harbor in New York? You know, the big white ship with the big red cross? Yeah, it was really quite a sight, I've got to admit, but a gazillion New Yorkers came out of their homes or decided just to swamp the piers and the docks and the shore of the harbor to go have a look at this hospital ship that's coming to save them because they're all in too close of quarters. And New York has just taken a huge spike. If you go look at the stats across the country, and I haven't looked at them today, it's just climbing exponentially. It's just the numbers are really up. way over, taken over every other country. The number of reported cases and the death toll is going up. I guess I could look that up here pretty quick. I probably will do that as we talk. But the, you know, you go back and you say, how the heck does this happen? You know, you've got these, you know, nobody was prepared for this. I think this thing just hit too quick. And, I mean, you go back and you look at the statements that were made back in February compared to what we know now. I mean, let's look at Mayor de Blasio. This is a direct quote from him. For the vast majority of New Yorkers, life is going on pretty normally right now, and we want to encourage that. Look, there's very little threat here. This disease, even if you were to get it, basically acts like a common cold or a flu, and transmission is not that easy. Now, I just want to give a programming note here that I'm reading a quote from back in February. Don't pay attention to any of that now. He says, I think there's been a misconception, and we said even if, God forbid, we found a case in a school, we're still not going to shut down all our schools. That's from the mayor of a city back in February. Had no clue what was going on. And that was his advice. And it gets worse. You had the New York City Health Commissioner, Dr. Barbeau, and she basically was taking the same stance. And a direct quote from her, the important thing for New Yorkers to know is that in the city currently, their risk is low and our city preparedness is high. So we're telling New Yorkers, go about your lives, take the subway, go out and enjoy life. As if, you know, we all know that, you know, if it were likely to be transmitted casually, we would be seeing a lot of cases. Let me repeat that. She says, if it were likely to be transmitted casually, we would be seeing a lot of cases. Does galactically wrong fit? Wow. Anyhow, but that's the, and you know, the funny thing about this is, it's not funny, the sad thing about this is we had a look at what the pattern was. We knew the way this thing developed. We could see the pattern. You know, I got family and friends in China, lived there for 8 years, and my wife was born in Wuxi, China. And, you know, so we've got a connection there. We see what's going on, and we had the early look. And besides the fact that, you know, face masks aren't anything foreign to our family, we also saw what was going on with total lockdown and talking to friends to say, hey, I haven't been out of my apartment in 15 days, and we finally got a chance to go out and get some food. You must wear a mask everywhere. And you look, and we thought, God, the numbers were horrible coming out of China. Well, we've exceeded that. And we basically went from January till March, now, today, before we started taking it serious enough to tell everybody to wear a mask when you're out in public. How hard is it to wear a mask? I keep ranting on that too much, but you know, you see what's happened in New York, and you know, we'll be fair that it was back in February. Nobody knew this was coming. I think this is the, you know, it's not the first time the world's faced a pandemic like this, but well, this one certainly has swept the world. Anyhow, it's okay. So, all right. Now, we're going to talk about a few things. We're talking about going into the stores. And I saw somebody complaining about carrying bags into the store. They want to carry bags into the store to save themselves having to purchase the bags that the stores now charge you for. Remember that? They used to give you a free shopping bag, the little cheap plastic one. Now they give you a sturdy, heavy-duty one and charge you 10 cents for it. So they're complaining that they had to spend 20 cents instead of being able to carry their own bag in. They were incensed at the market that told them, sorry, you're not allowed to bring your own bag in. Come on, people. You know, where's that bag been? Now you're introducing a contagion, possibly, into the environment there in the store. I mean, there's like a lot of people running around in there already. And now you're upset because it's going to cost you 20 cents for a bag. And it really, if you drive a car, it's so easy. You just take everything from your cart, run it through the cash register, then put it back in your cart, and then you drive it out to your car. This is a tip from Russ. This is the way to do it, by the way. And you go straight from the cart into a box with handles, and you forget the bags. My wife still wants to use the bags, and I tell her, no, 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 I'll deal with it. You just sit there, relax. And just go straight from the cart into a box, box has a handle you carry it inside. Nothing could be easier. Unpack your pantry. Unpack it and put it in your pantry. And by the way, that pantry, this staying home, now all that emergency food, I'm starting to carry a few extra pounds. Not all the storage for emergency is in the pantry. There's starting to hit the waistline. I gotta get some exercise. Is anybody else noticing the same thing? All right, well, that was a segue to whatever's coming up next here on the Russ Betts Show. We're here till 10 a.m. and got a great guest coming in at 9 o'clock, another one at 9:30 with an interesting story about how this has hit them personally, and wow, was that an interesting story coming up at 9:30. So, all right, this is the Russ Betts Show on iHub Radio in beautiful, locked down Palm Springs, California.
Read about it tomorrow. See it tonight. Hear it all day today. If it's happening in the Coachella Valley, it's front and center now on iHub Radio.
And there it is.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
That's us. We're back. Welcome to the Russ Betts Show. Glad to have you with us. We're live here on Sunday morning, unless, of course, you're listening to the podcast later. Well, then we were live then and not now. But for now, we're live because it's Sunday morning and bottom of the hour. And, well, hey, continuing on. I heard from a trucker and explaining to me the troubles, the trials, and the tribulations that they're having going through, doing their job, trying to bring us all the supplies that we seem to have been hoarding there for a while. And well, one of the things they're not facing is traffic in some of the cities. There are people that are actually staying home. If you've seen the video, you can drive down the streets or the freeways of L.A. and, well, rush hour's gone. So that's a big plus. But I heard from this driver, and he says, I'm trucking across I-40 with an ice cream load for Henderson, Nevada. And I'm parked for the night in Morarity, New Mexico. And he's got a full day. He's going to drive 670 miles, and he's going to do two fuel stops. And he did one in El Rhino, Oklahoma, and another one in New Mexico. And what he's saying is, everybody, please stay home. He goes into the Love's truck stops where he fueled, and the only place he has to shop is that truck stop. And he goes in there, and there's people buying up all the packaged food, all the milk, all the coffee. Not one item was spared. Here he is, driving 670 miles, trying to bring food to you. And you guys said, well, there's nothing on the store shelves in the grocery mart store, so, well, let's go raid the truck stops. Now, this is a little bit, a couple of weeks ago when all that was going on, but it's just interesting to see what the truckers are going through. And it's just, the interstate was packed. The place was packed with people that he knows aren't truckers. He knows what a trucker looks like. He's in there all the time. There's people in there just using it as a shopping store. Anyhow, so he says that, the worst thing is the flooding of these truck stops with germs and creating a volatile environment where the truckers can't perform their duties. You talk about the most essential of essential workers. Well, unless you don't want to eat, it's these guys. They're bringing stuff to you. So he says, go home and stay home. And this thing's spreading like wildfire through the supply chain, and going through the country, and we don't need to cripple the supply chain. So now freight is still moving, and I got a couple of friends who are in the trucking industry, and some of them call into us every once in a while, Trucker Gabriel and a few others. And they say they're busy. Loads are moving. They wonder, of course, like everybody, hey, what's going to happen? I'm glad I'm an essential worker. But is all this freight going to dry up? And we don't know what's going to happen going ahead. But right now, they're out on the roads being told, hey, get in here. Come on. We've got loads for you. We need you to get out there and bring this stuff. So anyhow, freight's still moving, and that's good news. Now, there's been some coverage lately on the that's causing some people to, well, build these conspiracy theories that all this is fake and ginned up and, it's some part of, thing to take over the world and control the world. And that, suggestion that, well, the hospitals aren't really that overcrowded. And I'm going to read something here from you. I'm going to go over this letter that came in from a emergency room nurse talking about her experience. I'll get to that in just a second. But you have to ask, is the media acting responsibly? And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess we asked that, you know, been asking that for decades, you know, the classic person with a camera putting it into somebody's face who's in the middle of a most traumatic event in their life, maybe a loved one died or whatever else. But we'll take it a little bit back from that a little bit and just say there's some footage that CBS News used. And I just saw it, this post this morning, and it's of somebody putting a ventilator in a mannequin, and it comes from a training video, but they've inserted this into the news story about everything going on, and they said, well, we really need a picture of a ventilator, of somebody being put on a ventilator. So instead of saying hi, we couldn't really put the camera in the face of somebody who's having a ventilator tube put down their throat and into their lungs, so we're just going to show you here's what it looks like. And instead, they just used a little short clip talking about it, and there was the visual that they thought they needed to tell this story. And, you know, it's everything that's wrong with the news. I mean, it's just totally irresponsible to have done that. So, of course, somebody sits there and you isolate this one little clip that says, say, look, there's not really people getting these tubes. They're just showing this as fake news with these mannequins. And it doesn't stop there. CBS is also talking about emergency rooms packed and full in New York. And so they're showing footage. And I think it's footage that everybody in the world that's on the internet must have seen. It was footage of an emergency room in Italy. And there they are talking about emergency rooms in New York. And instead of saying, hi, well, you know, the emergency rooms in New York aren't quite that busy yet, or we can't get a camera in there to show the busy newsroom, emergency rooms in New York. So we're just going to show you, here's what an emergency room looks like in Italy. Instead, they just splice in that clip, no explanation. And of course, everybody's going to say, hey, you're faking it. And I don't know, where are the editors? Is there any editors in the national news anymore? Is there in national journalism, is there anybody that follows a standard of excellence? And, you know, they sit there and they sure make a commotion about how they're the saviors of the world. And gosh, if it wasn't for us, well, the whole free society would come to an end. And maybe I'm overplaying this a little bit, but, you know, it's splicing in a video. You know, I think what it is it's just become so normal and so natural for these national network talk show guys, they call themselves news reporters, to do this. I mean, you had Anderson Cooper, who, you know, whatever you think of CNN, this isn't political. Anderson Cooper puts on a set of hip waders, wades down into a pond, and then says, I'm in a flooded area. Meanwhile, all his camera crew, that the microphone is out on a boom, the guy's standing on dry land, there's not any water anywhere else except this puddle that he's standing in, and they do a real close-in camera shot, trying to tell you that you know, hey, I'm in a flood. Well, it looked great visually, but it was fake. You know what it's fake? There's so many people out there with cameras recording this stuff, and somebody put it up, you can see the picture, it looks silly. Same thing with two reporters standing at opposite ends of a parking lot pretending they're talking to each other via satellite connection. Now, maybe they were, but they could have both been standing right next to each other. This stuff's all staged, and the way you know is because a bus goes behind one of them and a bus goes behind another, the same person a little while later. You see all the same traffic. So, wait a minute, that bus just passed behind that person, and now the same exact bus is passing behind that person. I mean, they're not even doing it good. Or the reporter that takes and sets up two tripods, takes some police tape they've gathered from a previous crime scene and says, hi, we're just here on the other side of the crime scene. Only they're probably a mile away because the police won't let them get close or whatever. And so they decide, well, they won't let us get close. We'll just make our own crime scene. And they put that on there. And again, somebody's sitting there with a camera watching it, all recording it. I got off on a tangent there, but man, is that a pet peeve of mine. I just can't understand why. Anyhow, let's get back to something more serious. On April 1st, I'm going to talk about masks again just quickly. The city of Laredo, implemented that all persons must wear masks. And that's the people in the store, the people going in the store. Everywhere you go in public, you must wear it. And now the County Riverside has implemented the same order. through its health department. So there you go. You must do that. All right. Now, what is all this about? Are we, is it all that bad? Is everybody making it up? So we got a emergency room nurse in Detroit. She's writing from Sinai Grace Hospital in Detroit, Michigan. And I'm just going to start out reading some of this. Last night at work was by far the worst night I've ever had as a nurse. People, please, I'm begging you, follow the quarantine instructions. Don't think of yourselves being stuck at home. Instead, think of it as being safe at home. It may help change your attitude to help you tolerate being home. Last night in the ER, there were 6 patients that passed away who won't be going back to their loved ones. One of those patients, 6 patients, 3 of them were mine. 2 of the 3, I had just gone into the rooms, took vitals, they were good. Nothing about their vital signs gave me the impression that they were about to crash. One patient even had thrown their shoe at the closed glass door to get our attention. This person wanted to make sure the oxygen mask was on right and to let us know they'd dropped their call light on the floor. So I picked up the call light, I gave it back to them, and I reassured them their vitals are fine, and they said they didn't have any pain, they were comfortable and just waiting for a bed assignment. Less than 30 minutes later, the monitor started alarming, and her and another RN and a RPT, respiratory therapist, ran into the room. The doctor arrived a few seconds later, and his patients had coded. That's a term for, they're not going to make it, I guess, or they were in very serious trouble. And there was nothing they could do to bring that person back to life. And she says she's still having a difficult time wrapping her head around the fact that she was talking to her patient, and then less than 30 minutes later, the patient was dead. And as the doctor was pronouncing the time of death, they had to quickly run to another room because another coworker's patient suddenly took the same turn. And they were able to stabilize that patient, but they're not sure for how long. Anyhow, the ER is overcrowded with patients, and last night she was in the ICU section of the ER with 2 other nurses. Each of them had 6 to 9 patients at a time, with most of them on ventilators. And as soon as one patient either got admitted or went upstairs or expired, an EVS is in there cleaning the rooms for, it takes 15 minutes to get a room ready for a new patient. They roll in another one, and here they are, and sicker than the patient before them. And she says last night it nearly broke her. Right? She struggled internally to compartmentalize the fact that she lost 3 patients within the first 8 hours of her 12-hour shift. And she says, my heart aches for the patients and their family, more so since no visitors are allowed, and their family members are calling to check up on them, and we're telling them how their treatments are going, and they're vital and stable, and the loved ones are out there. They check into the hospital. They get taken away in an ambulance or they get checked in. You can't go into the hospital. You can't see them. And she says, to call, the family calls and says, how's everything? She says, fine. Stables are fine. And then later she's got to call and say, we don't know what happened. They just took a turn for the worse and they passed away and your loved one's gone. So she says, if you're still reading all this, please take this quarantine seriously. She's on the front lines, and she can't stress enough how bad it has gotten, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better. So there's your plea from an emergency room nurse at Sinai Grace Hospital in Detroit, Michigan, telling you what's going on. And this is going on at ERs all over the country. And it's been going on in Italy. You got the same stories that came out of Italy last week. You can see this is the pattern. You could take this story, this account, and see the same account from nurses in the ER rooms and doctors in China, back in January and February. You can see it now in Detroit. It's coming to New York. And it's called flattening the curve. We've heard that. Now I'm going to recommend a guy, Juan Brown. He calls himself the Blanco Lirio channel on YouTube. And he's got a video out right now, his most recent one, that's detailing all of this about the curve and what they see. And it's actually given us a really good look ahead of where we're going. And we're going to take a quick look at that when we get back. This is Russ Betts on iHub Radio, The Russ Betts Show in beautiful downtown Palm Springs.
live from the Palm Springs iHub. He calls it as he sees it. The Russ Betts Show. Call 760-544-TALK. Now, here's Russ Betts.
All right, I was talking about the Blanco Lirio channel on YouTube. A guy named Juan Brown, he's a retired, he's an airline pilot. He's not retired, he's just not flying right now because none of them are. He happens to be out on a medical. But he's taken up in his time off to becoming a, they sometimes call them citizen reporters. Other people call them vloggers. I just call him really good. He does a great job. And he started out covering the problems with the spillway failure and the dam failure at Oroville Dam and tracking that, and that launched his channel. And then he's taken over a few other things. And obviously, as a pilot, when there's a national event involving the airline industry, like the layoffs right now, you get some great detail and some great insight. Very bright guy, and his presentation is very good. He doesn't fake mannequins or use fake footage of ERs, in other countries when talking about ERs in this country. Anyhow, side note, you'd have to listen to the previous segment. If you're just joining us, go back and listen to the podcast. They're available. But we're going to go on. I recommend that he's got the latest one he's got now is Where All This Is Going. And it's basically a curve. And you can see the New York Times has also got a very good website that shows the curves and the trends and where everything's going. And from these trends, you can see what's going to happen. And in Italy, I just saw that they're finally starting to celebrate. I mean, they're still in the throes of this thing. It's still bad, but the ER people, the doctors and nurses who are looking for some relief, who are stressed and tired, as the nurse in Detroit, Michigan, just recounted for you, they said, wow, the death numbers are going down. They still got people dying, but they're celebrating that there's not as many. They probably are starting to get over the curve in Italy after having a really tough time of it. And, of course, now they're saying here in the U.S., we're just going into the curve. Anyhow, on the Blanco Lirio channel, you can go get a look at all this. It's IHME website where they're tracking this. It's the data that the White House is using and everybody else is using to figure out, when's the worst of this coming. Anyhow, the other place you can go if you want to get up-to-date numbers in the world is a website called BNO News. And it's a real simple website here, and it's got the latest numbers here. And wow, is that taking a jump? 1,236,383 cases in the world. The death toll worldwide is now up to 67,200. They note there's 254,000 that has recovered. And then they give you the specific numbers for each country. And the U.S. now has had 9,083 deaths. And if you wonder, how does that compare to China? It's 3,329. And I know, can we rely on the numbers out of China? There's people who are sitting there talking. I'm going to go off on a little bit of tangent here. I got people talking about China distorting the numbers, and I don't have any doubt they are. But one of the things they point to is, well, look at all the cell phone subscriptions that shut off in the month of January and February. And I guess the assumption is that, well, somebody who died no longer needs a cell phone, so they canceled their subscription. Of course, thinking through that conspiracy theory, if they died, they didn't actually call and cancel their subscription. I think there's some things that just continue on, like email accounts and everything else, just kind of continue on. You don't, dying breath decide, well, I'm going to go shut off my cell phone. More than likely, and understanding Chinese culture as I do, you probably had two people sitting at home, stuck together, and said, we really don't need this second account. Let's just cancel it right now. We'll save some money for a couple of months, and then we'll turn on the phone again. And then when you further look into this conspiracy theory, you find out that, it was what, I forget how many, it was maybe it seemed like a lot, 200,000 people had canceled their phone service. But when you look at how many users of cell phones there are in China, 1.3 billion cell phone users, 200,000 was like less than 1%. So, I'm getting off on a tangent. And then I'll start with reporting the numbers out of China. At least I remember where my tangents started from. France has 7,500 deaths. Germany, 1,400. Italy, 15,395. Spain at 12,400, and the U.S. is now at 9,000 as of this reporting. Now, if you go to this BNO website, you can also go to the source that they're giving you, which further breaks out the by city. It's not just the country now. You can see New York. What do they say? There was 9,000 deaths in the U.S. right now. The number is 9,000. And New York has 4,159 of those. So almost half. And then you throw in New Jersey. So half of the cases, half of the deaths in the United States right now are coming out of New York and New Jersey, that little area right there. And Michigan, where we just heard about from the nurse, it's got 540 deaths. And California is at 321, Louisiana at 409. And then you run on down the list. So you can find all this. Just go to bnonews.com. And they break it all out, and they list the source for you. And the sources, the amount of work they're doing here, I think they started up all this when it first started happening, tracking it. And, man, the work that people must do, and they get something like this started. They say, well, we can't stop. We got to keep going. Of course, they're asking for contributions because they have a little bit of advertising here on their website. Well, look at this ad. An ad for masks. Dress according to the pandemic. I know. I talk about something really serious and you get off on a chuckling story here, but man, what a cottage industry is startups, you know, with people doing homemade masks and people advertising, hey, you know, we've been busy sewing and so if you want to buy any masks, you know, here we got them. And then other people, of course, very benevolent, all for the cause, busy wearing out their fingers, sewing masks just to give them away for free. And God bless you for that. Anyhow, I just wanted you to take a look at that website, because it's a good tracking number. It makes it easy. We do have numbers out of the Coachella Valley, and they're broken down by each city, and you can go find those. I'm not going to read down those. It's kind of like I feel like a sports reporter reporting the score. It's a pretty grisly score to have to report. It's too close to home. So just, you know, the Press Enterprise, the Desert Sun, our partner, has those numbers for you for the Coachella Valley. The Press Enterprise will get them to you for Riverside, or the local news stations have them. Or if you go to, you know, I got another shout out to the mayor of Lake Elsinore, Steve Manos. He's been going through and painstakingly tallying all those. And what do you know? I hear the phone ring, and I wonder who's calling me. This is coming in on, that might be our guest at the top of the hour. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I'm running this show all by myself. You're going to hear me answering the phone. You won't hear them, but let's see what we got going on here. There you go. This is Russ Bett Show. How you doing? Good. All right. I'm going to put you on hold. We got the top of the hour going on. Hey, the bumper music started right on cue. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get you on air, okay? All right. Oh, I think I'm supposed to announce something here. All right, you're not supposed to just listen to this long trailing bumper music for 30 seconds. All right, we got a good one coming up here at the top of the hour. Guests coming on here, there is help for you if you're a renter out of work, or a small business owner trying to figure out how to make ends meet, or a landlord trying to figure out where you're going to get your rent. We're going to have those answers for you coming up soon. All right, this is Russ Bett Show on iHeartRadio. Back with more.